Taking a look at some overrated players here on Fantasy Football Today Express. Welcome to the show. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. That's Dan Schneier. We're talking about some overrated players going into the early part of the draft process for 2026. Dan's got three players he's going to tell us about and maybe some guys you should avoid on draft day. All right, Dan, let's start with the first guy, Jackson Dart, your Giants quarterback. He's overrated for you.
No one saw this coming. And when I did my rankings and my tiers two nights ago, I really put a lot of time into it, 4.5 hours. I love the process, every minute of it. I couldn't find myself ranking Jackson Dart any higher than QB 17, which is crazy for most to hear as a borderline QB 1. But I think the issues are related to pretty much where the Giants are moving as an offense. Now, the news of Malik Nabers not landing on PUP definitely helps Dart's value, but what the Giants want to do under Matt Nagy is become a physical team that's going to be run first and slower paced, and none of these things are good for Jackson Dart. But worse, I think at least, is that he scored 4 of his 9 touchdowns inside the 3-yard line last year as a 4 of his 9 rushing touchdowns. Those are going away. They're not going to run him anymore. That was a Brian Daboll thing. And if you look at Matt Nagy's history, he doesn't run his quarterbacks in the red zone around the goal line. So that's a big issue for me, in addition to the pace and also question marks surrounding what Matt Nagy is as a coordinator and what he means for Dart's fantasy value.
I think it's an interesting debate about Dart, because what we saw last year was really nothing with Malik Nabers. Nabers got hurt in the first game. Dart started in week 4. Obviously, no Isaiah Likely, no Darnell Mooney, but like you said, the coaching change is significantly different. And for the majority of the season, he didn't have Cam Scadabu either. So there are a lot of different, you know, personnel situations going on here for the Giants. And I think the thing that hopefully will separate Dart, your touchdown potential here is scary, but can he still be one of the better running quarterbacks? Right. I think if he does, he'll be okay. If he doesn't, then we are going to be in a little bit of a problem with Dart. And I hope we're not looking at one of these guys. We've seen this many a time. Just the recent example, CJ Stroud, great rookie season, terrible sophomore campaign. He's never really recovered. Jaden Daniels, I think the profile makes sense. Great rookie season, struggle with injuries year two. If we see Dart running a lot, then we could have an injury concern for him. And as we know, the concussions were a problem for him even during his fantastic rookie campaign. So he's going to be one of the more fascinating quarterbacks we look at, especially when we talk about his average draft position and comparing him to some of those guys with that, I guess, mid-round picks, you know, depending on how your league drafts quarterback. So I'm going to guess you're going to take Trevor Lawrence ahead of him, Justin Herbert ahead of him, Caleb Williams is going to go ahead of him. Brock Purdy, you're taking ahead of him?
Yeah, these are the ones who are locked into that tier, but I'm even going a tier lower than that, Jamie. I'm taking guys like Kyler Murray ahead of him, okay. Dak Prescott ahead of him, Bo Nix ahead of him, Patrick Mahomes ahead of him. So he's way down there for me.
Yeah, you're probably going to be one of the lowest in the industry on Jackson Dart. And
sure.
Again, you have a lot of reasons to want Dart to be a good fantasy quarterback. So we'll see how that all plays itself out. All right, let's go to the next guy that you have, and that's Trevion Henderson, who – it's just kind of crazy how I think we're all hoping that he's going to take a step forward in his sophomore season. But as we saw last year, that was not the case in his rookie campaign when he shared with Ramondre Stevenson. He's going about 50th overall right now, RB21, based on his average draft position on Fantasy Pros. That's just too soon for you.
Way too soon for me. I think what really sold it for me, Jamie, was digging into all the numbers and seeing just how successful Ramondre Stevenson was as a runner last year. I don't think people recognize he was the third most in explosive runs last year, which I think you hear the names. It's like Jahmyr Gibbs, Devon Achane, Ramondre Stevenson. You look at the yards after contact per carry, you look at the forced missed tackle rate. They're all really good. From an efficiency standpoint, he was a much better runner than Trevion Henderson was. Now, add that to the fact that Ramondre Stevenson gave up fewer pressures in his career as a pass protector than Henderson gave up all of his rookie season. That's an insane stat Jacob Gibbs pulled out. It's like, okay, so this guy's not going to probably come off the field on third down. If the playoffs are any indication of it, they trust him more overall to a major extent. I just think Ramondre is a better player right now than Trevion Henderson. I'm not even sure he won't be a better player throughout their whole entire season. He's a very underrated back. So for me, my most egregious rank, I always call it, because I was talking about it with Jacob, I have Ramondre ahead of Trevion Henderson in my fantasy football rankings. And that one I'm toying with, because Ramondre really hasn't been able to score that many fantasy points, but he's been hyper efficient and he really found something down the stretch run of the season. And I think we're all just kind of forgetting that and just being like, all right, well, it's Trevion Henderson's backfield now. And I don't really see why.
Let's take a quick break and we'll talk more about Trevion Henderson and Dan's third overrated player, which is Ted Aroa McMillan. So Dan's just hating on all the sophomores. Yeah. Come back next year on Fantasy Football Today Express. All right. So Dan, I agree with you about Trevion Henderson, except for one thing that you said.
Yeah.
But you're not wrong, is that he's the better player. I think if they both had the same amount of touches,
okay,
we would have better fantasy player. Let's put it that way. Both had the same amount of touches. Trevion Henderson would do a lot more with those touches because he's a much more explosive player. But
right,
we always fall into this trap when we see, oh my God, here is this unbelievable talent, but he doesn't do everything that the coaches want. And that's keeps him from being on the field. He was clearly amazing in the three games that Ramondre Stevenson missed last year. And Stevenson can't do that. And then he had the two other games where he was exceptional. One was against Buffalo. I forget what the other one was. But he had basically five good right games last year. You take away those five games, which I always hate to do because you're taking away players' top-end production. But you take away those five games, Dan, he averaged under seven PPR points per game, did Trevion Henderson. Wow. So the hope would be is that if Stevenson misses any time, you're talking about a top 10, maybe top five player in Trevion Henderson, because I struggle with the same thing. And then you're looking at, okay, does he take a step forward in his sophomore season because he's done a better job in pass protection? He's done a better job in learning that you can take the 3-yard run and not always have to look for the 30-yard run. Is he doing a better job in his route running? He's doing a better job just being a veteran and or being an NFL player and getting closer to being a veteran as opposed to just an inexperienced rookie. And those are the things that, you know, take a player from getting that second contract to struggling and then bouncing around the league, especially at that position. So it's going to be fascinating to see how he sort of performs. Up until this week, I was, you know, I'm going to take the two veteran guys. I'm not with you. I would still take Henderson over Stevenson, but mostly, not far apart. But yeah. I was taking the two veteran guys that nobody wants and Tony Pollard and Chuba Hubbard ahead of Trevion Henderson. And then I'm thinking to myself, that's not the way I would want to draft because I'd rather take the upside play versus the safe play. But again, floor versus ceiling, I don't think anybody's ceiling outside of the first, you know, couple of round running backs match what Henderson can do, but the floor is almost non-existent. So it right makes a lot of sense to be concerned about him. And I do agree he is overrated. All right, let's talk about Ted Aroa McMillan and why he's overrated for you.
It's a tough one for me because from a pure talent standpoint, as an actual NFL player, I think he's underrated based on where he's going in fantasy yep drafts. But that's not how this thing works. And that's not how I've ever drafted. And that's not how I've ever planned out my fantasy football teams or my analysis and advice to others listening. And the issue for me is I haven't seen from the film we've done and on Beyond Their Box, where we've watched a lot of Panthers film, too much Panthers film, I would say. And from the analytics and the stats that says that Bryce Young can operate a rhythmic passing game. And worse than that, I don't know if he can operate in the ways that he needs to get Ted McMillan the ball on a consistent basis. So it's a Bryce Young issue for me. It's also a Carolina Panthers tackle issue for me. They're going to be without their two starting offensive tackles, most likely for the first whoever knows how many weeks of the season, at least four. Now they got some guys, Monroe Freeling in the draft, first round pick, and they signed Rasheed Walker from Green Bay. They have some contingency plans, but it's not the first plan. So if they have issues with the offensive line, especially a tackle to start the season, with a quarterback I already have major concerns about, a really difficult schedule. When you look into it, their pass defenses, they have one of the most, if you look at just any of the strength of schedule metrics, I'll shout out Justin Boone, who does a great job at Yahoo Sports. They're 28th there. Sharp Football, they're 30th. Just horrible schedule for quarterbacks and for passing game. It all just adds up to me like we're looking at a great talent who's not in a situation that can really accentuate that talent. And I'm okay drafting that, but for me, it's closer to the wide receiver, back end wide receiver two, borderline wide receiver three range than the mid, you know, back end wide receiver one, early wide receiver two range he's going in.
Yeah, we're on the same page with this one. I think the positive recently is the report that he may play yes more in the slot. So that'll hopefully give him some easy targets because we know Bryce Young, that's where he struggles is, you know, throwing on the boundary and all those things that a smaller quarterback, especially the way that he's performed, has done. But we did on, I think it was Wednesday's episode on Fantasy Football Today, Stats That Matter. And this one stood out to me. The last five games of the season, including the one playoff game that the Panthers played against the Rams, Jalen Coker and Ted Aroa McMillan, almost identical in terms of targets per game, which is alarming in itself. So 6.2 targets per game right for Ted Aroa McMillan, 6.0 targets per game for Coker those five games. Coker averaged 14.1 PPR points per game during those five games. Ted Aroa McMillan, 9.8. So he was outplayed by another player on his team over a good enough stretch that I think it does matter. And then you take into account, Jalen Coker missed the first half of the season, didn't come back till the middle right of the year. So you get that ramp-up period. And we know that a lot of people love Jalen Coker. The value for Jalen Coker is fantastic. I'm not saying you should be taking right. Jalen Coker ahead of Terry McMillan. That's not the conversation. But I do think when you start to put McMillan up against those other receivers in the group that you're talking about of Luther Burden and Jalen Waddle and DJ Moore and Mike Evans and all these other guys, like, you can make stronger arguments for why those guys could be better. Now, you do like the fact that McMillan had a 1,000-yard rookie campaign. That's usually a good baseline of what these guys can do moving forward. But it just feels like his offensive environment. I said this a lot. I feel like what we got from him last year, you're hoping just to replicate as opposed to expecting a lot more. And I think a lot of people are expecting a lot more. Right. So I just don't think that Bryce Young and Dave Canales and the place that he plays, on top of the fact that the offensive line, which I thought was going to be a huge strength, now could be a little bit of a weakness, at least in the early part of the season. So if you really want Terrell McMillan, see if he gets off to a slow start because of the offensive line woes, and then maybe you trade for him in the second half when we get that hopefully stretch run where he's playing a little bit better into the latter part of the second half of his sophomore campaign. All right, great job, Dan. These are three overrated players by Dan Schneier. Just in case you need the review, it's Jackson Dart, it's Trevion Henderson, it's Teterola McMillan. Hopefully you like some other sophomore players. You can find out more from Dan on Beyond the Box Score. Check that out wherever podcasts are available. And obviously, make sure you stay tuned to Fantasy Football Today and Fantasy Football Today Express. For Dan Schneier, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Podcasts.